Good evening. How are we doing tonight? Awesome, awesome. Welcome to Next Level. Tonight we kick off a brand new series entitled Fear Not. And to kick things off, I want to know what you're afraid of. So if you have a fear, you can just shout it out. We just want to hear something you're afraid of. What do you? Roaches, snakes, spiders. Okay, insects and creepy animals are we're afraid of. What else? The devil. What else? The dark. Afraid of the dark. All right. All right. What did you say? Okay. All right. What? Clowns. Clowns. Clowns are creepy. Ever since Stephen King did It, it ruined clowns for the rest of us. What else? What else? What are you scared of? Snakes? Corn? What? Dying. Okay. Dying. Okay. Awesome. That sounds nothing like corn. I don't know how I heard corn out of dying. Awesome. All right, so we have a lot of fears. There are things that we are afraid of. And I would never, ever categorize myself as being a fearful person. In fact, I relate a lot to Simba when I say I laugh in the face of fear. No Lion King fans in here? All right. I'm not a fearful person. Like, there's nothing, I don't have anything that I'm just like, oh, that you know, gives me nightmares, or there's nothing that I'm really scared of. And so I would say that I'm not a fearful person, and yet, on a weekly basis, my wife tells me about some deep-seated fear that I have that I don't even know that it's a fear, but it just comes out on literally a weekly basis. And it is incredibly humbling for me because I don't view myself as a fearful person. On almost a weekly basis, my wife will leave at some point during the night to go check on the babies or for some reason. And when she comes back in, she says, and she promises that this is true, that when she opens the door to our bedroom, I sit straight up and my eyes get really big, and I pull the covers up to my face, and I say, "Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?" And like, she laughs, and she says, "It's just Monica, it's just your wife, go back to bed." And then I lay back down, and I have no recollection of this. I have no idea, like, but apparently there's this deep-seated fear that someone's going to come in my room and like man-nap me or something. Like, I have no idea why I'm so afraid of the door opening, but it comes out on a weekly basis. Now, just to redeem myself a little bit, I want to tell you that I'm not always afraid in my sleep. In fact, a few years ago, my wife yelled out in her sleep, and this is something that she does often. She yelled out, "Rob, there's somebody in the room." Okay, that is a scary thing to hear in the middle of the night. And what happened next is very fuzzy to me. I don't remember all the details. I just remember waking up hearing my name screamed over and over again. And when I looked, I had Monica's pillow in a headlock, and I was punching it as hard as I could. Like, I was going Chuck Norris on her pillow, and she was in the fetal position on the corner of the bed, like, protecting her head and, like, yelling, like, "Rob, stop, stop." And so I tell you that story just to say, even though sometimes I'm really afraid in my sleep, other times I'm the man, and I come to my wife's rescue. But there's not a lot of things in my life that, like, I'm just afraid of. But a lot of you have fears. And some of the fears that we have are things that we don't even think about. Things like, a lot of us are afraid of people's opinions. A lot of us have insecurities, these deep-seated fears inside of us. Some of us have a fear of rejection. Some of you have a fear, and you've never even, like, vocalized this. I won't even make you raise your hands, but I bet you at least half of us have had this dream that has exposed a deep fear in us. Have you ever had the dream where you're in a public place in your underwear? It is a scary, scary dream. So many of my friends have had this. Like, you're either at work or at school. When I had the dream, I was at my school, and I wasn't even in high school anymore. And the bell rang, and, like, tons of students were in, and I'm like, I'm standing in my underwear. I don't know why that's a fear. That's never going to happen. But in my mind, it was like this deep-seated fear. And some of you have these deep-seated fears, things that you don't even know how to express. There are lots of things that we are afraid of. Something that I found that is fascinating is that the number one command, the command that is given the most in the Bible, that is the most amount of times, is the command to fear not. Fear not. And yet most of us have lots of fears in our life. In fact, one of my concerns about Christians today is that most of us fear the things that we should fear not, and very few of us fear the things that we should fear. Most of us are afraid of things that the Bible tells us not to be afraid of. We should be saying fear not when we're afraid. And then there are some things out there that we should be afraid of, that we should fear. Did you know that 117 times the Bible tells us to fear God? And yet when I asked what of our fears, not a single one of you said God. In fact, I don't know if I was sitting in your shoes if I would have said, yeah, God's something that I fear. In our modern context, we don't think about fearing God. Just to see how many of you guys have ever heard this. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on fearing God? Let me see your hands. 3.5 of you. Awesome. That means the vast majority of us have never even heard a talk, a sermon on something that is given in the Bible 117 times. And this isn't just like an Old Testament thing, you know, the first half of the Bible. It's carried over in the New Testament. Jesus actually tells us to fear God. Just to give you a little sampling of some of the 117 verses that talk about fearing God, I want to read to you some of these. Psalm 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with," what's that word? "Fear, and rejoice with trembling." In fact, why don't you just play along in all these verses that I read. Whenever you see the word fear, just shout it out with me here. Psalm 76:7-8 says, "You alone are to be. Who can stand before you when you are angry? From heaven you pronounce judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. Teach me your way, O Lord." This comes from Psalm 86:11. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Like, now it's just going to a whole other level. Like, we're not just to fear God, we're to fear his name. It's like Mufasa. Ooh, still, I know, Lion King fans. We just introduced that to my kids, so that movie's like on my mind. I love Lion King. But we should like fear the actual name of God, that his name, when it's spoken in our presence, it should bring fear to us. And yet most of us don't fear God. Look at what Psalm 103:11 says. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." Psalm 103:17-18 says, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." Over and over and over again, the Bible is telling us to fear God. It is a command that we can't get away from. And yet most of us have never even thought about fearing God. One of the kind of key players in the Old Testament is a guy by the name of Solomon, and he is considered to be the wisest man to ever live. And he wrote two of the books that we have in the Bible, and one of his books is called Proverbs, and it is nothing but just wisdom. It is 31 chapters of wisdom. And if you're looking for like a Bible reading plan, you want to read just something every day, go to the book of Proverbs, and there's one proverb for every day in the month, unless there's like only 30 days or 28 days, then you have a few extra. But on months where there's 31 days, you have one proverb a day. Just read it through, and it is just packed full of wisdom, because this is the wisest guy to ever live. And Solomon, when he starts off his book of wisdom, look at what he says about fearing God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And yet most of us, when we got a knowledge of God, it didn't start with fear. In fact, if you grew up in church like I did, the only time that I ever feared anything was when we had a pastor who would talk about hell. And I heard lots of pastors, and they would literally, like, their whole goal in preaching about hell was to scare the hell out of me. Have you ever heard a preacher like that? Like, they just paint such a picture of it that you're like, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Like, I am so scared right now. And I'm pretty sure that pastors like that turn up the heat in the church, so you're just feeling hot. So when he's talking about, like, eternal flames, you're like, man, it's awful in here. Like, just let me pray. I'll do whatever. I'll give you millions of dollars. I'll do whatever I can. I don't want to go to hell. In fact, when I was in college, they had this, it was a haunted house, but it was like a Christian haunted house, like a judgment house. And the whole point of it was to scare the hell out of you. Like, literally, it was just like a haunted house that you may have walked through or may have experienced. There was like, you know, all the ghosts and all the things that would jump out at you. But then near the end of it, you would go from like a fictional world to like realistic places. And you would walk through and you would see this car accident, and it would be like this bloody mess of a car accident. And then you'd walk through and you'd see this natural disaster, like where a tornado hit, and you'd see all these dead people. And then the last scene, you would walk through hell. And it's like weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it's like hot, and it's like dark in there. And when you get done, then they usher you into this tent. And in the tent, the guy tells you, like, this is what you need to do so you don't end up in hell. Well, everyone is scared to death at that point. They're willing to do anything that guy says. If he would have said, look, go out of here and I want you to make a baby cry or kick a puppy, like, that's your ticket out of hell, we all would have done it. Or just give me a puppy. I'm going to kick the mess out of him. I'll make a baby cry. I don't want to go to hell. I am so scared right now. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. That was kind of funny. Come on, give that to me. That was a little bit funny. Like, it brings, it just, this idea of hell, it brings so much fear to us. But the problem with just having hell as the only fear that we have is that fear doesn't last very long. Like, I grew up hearing so many sermons on hell, and like, it would make me act right for a couple days, but then I would kind of forget about hell. And so it's not like this lasting like change within me. It was just like it brought fear, and it was an uncomfortable fear. But the problem is that fear of something, it didn't make me run into the arms of God. It didn't bring intimacy. It didn't bring love. It just brought something else that I had to worry about. I was like, I don't want to go there. I'll do whatever I can so I don't have to go to hell. But this fear, you guys got to understand this. This fear is very different than the way that we fear hell, or the way that you fear Freddy Krueger, or the way that you fear the boogeyman. You see, the way that we fear things, a human fear, it causes separation. Like, for example, if you were to walk down a dark alley, and hopefully you guys are smart enough not to walk down dark alleys, but if you were to walk down a dark alley one time and you saw a really sketchy guy coming towards you, nothing in your mind would say, I'm going to open my arms and run to him and embrace the sketchy guy. Like, none of you would think that. Why? Because fear causes separation. Human fear causes us to push things away. And so when I'm even just giving you these verses about fearing God, some of you are like, that doesn't sit right with me, because we're supposed to love God, and God is a God of love, and like, I don't love things that I'm afraid of. Like, I push things that I'm afraid of away. But we've got to change up our mindset, because the fear of God, it actually brings intimacy. It brings love. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 118:4. It says, let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. This is something that we've got to get. The fear of God, it actually causes us to say, his love endures forever. Having a healthy fear of God brings intimacy. When we fear man, it brings separation. It causes us to push things away. But when we fear God, it brings intimacy. It brings love. There should be a healthy dose of fear within inside of us that says, I want to run towards this being. I know, though, in my mind that God is so powerful that he could squish me like a bug, and yet he draws me into his presence. He loves me so much that he actually embraces me. It should be this fear that just causes this awe that says, okay, this is a healthy fear. I want to be around you, but I also know that I need to be in awe of who you are. It's kind of like this. I don't know how many of you guys have ever gone skydiving, but a couple years ago, I went skydiving, and the whole time I was going skydiving, I kept thinking to myself, at some point, I'm going to become afraid. But I never did. Like, the whole time I'm going through this, I kept thinking, at some point, I'm going to get really nervous, and my palms are going to start sweating, and like, I'm going to say, I don't want to do this. But it never happened. Like, at the very beginning, they put you on like this concrete pad, and they give you this little training, and they say, at this point, you've got to like tilt your head way back, and at this point, you got to kick your leg way back, and like, they give you these instructions, and like, I was thinking, okay, this is it. Like, this is real. It's going down. I'm going to become afraid, but I never became afraid. In fact, when we got in the airplane, I thought to myself, okay, this is the point where I'm going to get afraid. Like, this is real. There's no turning back. We're in the airplane. And even going up to the top of our destination, I never became afraid. And then I thought something was really fascinating, because this is the point where I thought I really was going to get fear. When you jump out of an airplane, it's not like, you know, this like door that's like way in the distance that you walk to. It's like literally like feet away from you. They open up the side of the plane and you can see to your death below. And like, then the camera guy, he just jumps out and he's like, see ya. And like, then all of a sudden they take you and they make you stand on the edge of the plane, and you can see the propellers, and you're looking down 14,000 feet to your death, or to the ground. You're looking down, and I'm standing up there looking down, and I'm waiting for the call to jump, and I'm never afraid. Like, not even a little bit afraid. Now, I want to show you a picture of why I was not afraid. Check this picture out. This picture, that picture is why I wasn't afraid. You want to know why I wasn't afraid? It wasn't because I'm some superhero that has no fear. The reason I wasn't afraid is because I was strapped to an instructor who jumps for a living. And he does this over and over again. He does this multiple times a day. In fact, I knew in my mind that there was nothing bad that was going to happen to me because I was strapped to the instructor. I knew for a fact that he wasn't going to let us die because he didn't want to die. Like, I knew if I misbehaved and was like, hey, I don't want to listen to you, he would do whatever it took to get me down safely. Even if that meant knocking me out, he was going to knock me out to make sure that he didn't die. I never felt any fear because I was strapped to the instructor. And that is the exact same thing that we're supposed to have with God. It's this healthy fear that says, okay, I know I can overcome any circumstance because I'm connected to you. It's this fear that says, okay, I'm going to do whatever you say. You know what? I never feared jumping out of the plane, but you know what I did fear? I feared my instructor. Not in a sense that I was like scared or I wanted to run away, but in a healthy, like holy respect. Whatever he told me to do, I did it. When he said jump, I wasn't like, no, come on, I know you do this for a living, but I don't think the wind's quite right. I'm going to hang out here for about 15 more minutes. You need to listen to me, buddy. And when he said tilt your head back, I wasn't like, nope, not going to do it. My way's better. I'm going to tilt my head forward. I'm going to show you. And then when he said kick your leg back, I wasn't like, no, watch this. I'm going to kick both feet forward. I didn't do any of that. Why? Because I feared my instructor. He knew what was going on. I trusted him. And so whatever he said to do, that's what I did. And that needs to be our same response to God. We need to have this holy fear. This fear that says, I'm in such awe of you that I will do whatever you tell me to do. This week I've been reading a couple quotes from an author and pastor by the name of John Piper. And he says some things that have just been rocking my world about fearing God. Look at what John Piper says. He says, the fear of the Lord is so awesome that you would not dare run away from him, but that you would dare run to him. The fear of the Lord is so awesome that you would not dare look him in the eyes and say, I'm running away from you. But it's so amazing that it would actually cause you to say, I'm running to you. That's the fear of the Lord. That is the fear that the Bible talks about over and over again. I think one of the problems that so many of us Christians have is we just don't have a healthy fear of God. We know that God's all powerful and we believe in him. We know that he exists. But so many of us are jumping through the obstacles of life and just saying, I'm going to do it my way. It shows by the way that we live that we don't have a healthy fear of God. As if we can look into the maker of the heavens and earth and say, hey, I know this is the way you want me to do it, but I'd rather do it on my own. I don't know why I'm so drawn to biblical characters that have some doubt and have some struggle, but all of my favorite biblical characters are the ones that just don't get it right. It's the guys that just mess up, and not just mess up once, but like mess up over and over again. And there's a guy in the Bible, he was one of Jesus' disciples, and his name is Peter, and his name starts off being Simon, and sometimes they call him Simon Peter. It's really creative, but he either goes by Simon or he goes by Peter, or sometimes Simon Peter. And Simon is a guy that I relate to so much, because on some days, Simon Peter has like this amazing faith in God. He's the one, and if you grew up in church, maybe you've heard this, he's the one that when Jesus is like walking on the water, he's the only one of Jesus' followers that jumped out of the boat and said, hey, I'm going to walk on water with you. That's amazing. That takes a lot of courage. He's the one that when they came to arrest Jesus, he actually pulls out his sword and he chops off one of the soldiers' ears. Like, that dude's bad to the bone. If you see a posse coming to arrest someone and you're the only one that pulls out your sword, I mean, you're tough. I mean, this guy's hardcore. And if you ever read the story, it's like Jesus then picks up the ear and he heals it and puts it back on the guy's head and he says, hey, don't fight them. Like, I could have angels, like, destroy them if I wanted to. I'm willing to do this. But, like, Peter's this hardcore guy. And yet he's also the one that continues to make just huge mistakes. He's the one that at one moment is, like, doing awesome things for God and the next moment he's turning his back on him. I don't know if you've ever read how Peter first became a follower of Jesus, but it is a story that is filled with fear. And I want to show you this story because I think that this story is going to help us see the holy fear that we should have and the type of fear that we should fear not. Let's dive into the story and see what happens. This says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of, I never can pronounce that word, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, this is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and we don't really know how, like, Jesus was gathering a crowd. We don't know what he did. He went from being a carpenter to all of a sudden, all these people wanted to hear Jesus teach. And at the very beginning of his ministry, he's on a beach, and there's like just this huge crowd has gathered to listen to him. And it's so much so that Jesus needs some distance. And so he sees a boat, and it's Simon's boat. And he climbs into Simon's boat and kind of pushes it a little bit away from the beach so he could teach the people. Now, something that we need to get, it's really important that we get this, is that while Jesus is teaching, Simon is in the picture. The verse says that Simon is cleaning his nets. So he is hearing everything that Jesus is teaching. Okay? Make sure you get that. Because what happens next, it's really crucial that we understand that Peter actually heard Jesus teach. Look what happens next. It says, when he had finished speaking, that's when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in a deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. That verse is fascinating to me. Peter is a professional fisherman. Jesus is a retired carpenter. Like, Jesus has no reason to tell Peter how to fish. This is what he does. And Jesus tells Peter to do something amazing, like this, just, it's something that doesn't even make sense. He says, hey, I want you to put your nets back out into the water. And Peter says to him, listen, Jesus, there are no fish. We're past the prime fishing time. I've been out here all day and we haven't caught anything. And now it's like late in the day. We're not going to catch anything. And he makes it really clear. But then he says, but because you say so, I'm going to do something crazy. I don't believe that we're going to catch any fish, but because you say so, I'm going to put my net back in. Now, why did he have enough faith to do this? It's because he heard Jesus' words. He heard Jesus teach enough so that he could say, hey, this is crazy. This doesn't even make sense, but because you say so, I'm going to do the impossible. I think that one of the biggest reasons why many of us do not experience the miracles of God is because we're not willing to obey Jesus. Jesus tells us to do things, and we say, oh, nope. Oh, but God, what if that made me feel uncomfortable? Or God, what if someone found out and like, no, I can't do that. God, you must not be talking to me. I'm just an ordinary person. We have the audacity to look at the creator of the universe and say, no. And Peter says, hey, this doesn't make any sense. This is just, in fact, this is stupid. But because you say so, I'm going to obey you. Growing up in church, we often had pastors who would leave. And they always would say when they would leave, they always would say that after listening to God, God had called them to another place. And I remember being like in middle school and just having so many youth pastors leave and have so many pastors leave. But I just thought to myself, how come none of these pastors ever like hear from God and go to something worse? Like whenever God speaks to them, they always go to like a bigger church with a bigger budget and with more money. And like I never ever heard one pastor stand up and say, you know what? Our church is growing. We've gotten to 3,000 people. And I feel like God is calling me to go on the mission field. And I have no money, no support, but we're trusting God. Like I never heard that. I never heard that until the beginning of this year. You guys met earlier, Stephen and Brooke Haggerty. They're our worship pastors here. And Stephen and Brooke, I know a lot of you know them, but you might not know their story. Stephen and Brooke, before coming to Next Level, were at a church that was much larger than Next Level Church. They were at a church that they had financial support. It was an established church. The church was at least 10 years old. They had lots of friends. They had friends that they considered family there. And in fact, they loved the place that they were at, and they were not looking to leave at all. And yet Jesus started speaking to them, and they said, this doesn't make sense, but we'll go to this church plant that barely has 130 people, and they count pregnant people twice. If you're pregnant, thank you. Like, we don't have a lot of people. Like, he went backwards. That's not the way that it's supposed to work. You're supposed to go move up the ladder. And what I've found in life is that whenever God speaks, it is incredibly hard. But it is worth it. It is worth it to say, God, this doesn't even make sense. What you're telling me to do does not make sense. But because you say so, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And so maybe that means that some of you do go on the mission field for the rest of your life. Or maybe that means some of you do move across to a new state. Or maybe that means that some of you just go to your next door neighbor and you knock on the door and say, hey, I know we don't know each other very well, but would you come over for dinner? I would just like to get to know you. Maybe, I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it means witnessing to your boss. How scary would that be? Telling your boss, hey, you know what? You need Jesus. Like, that's scary. But I don't know what God is stirring in your heart, but when God speaks, it is always incredibly hard. But we can trust that fearing God is way better than fearing man. Because when we fear human things, it causes us to push things away. But when we fear God, it brings intimacy. And so Peter said, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it because you say so. Look what happens next in the story. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's amazing. The impossible happens. Peter says, Jesus, this is not going to work, but because you say so, I'm going to put my net back in the water. And when they do, they catch so many fish that he actually has to call more fishermen over. He's like, come, you guys got to help me. I can't even control what God's doing right here. Wouldn't that be amazing to experience? Like, I don't know about you, but like, I don't want just church. I want to experience God. I want to experience God do a miracle in my life that I cannot explain away. I want to experience God in such a way that I could say, okay, I could tweet this, I could blog about it, I could write it down, but you wouldn't believe it unless you experienced it. I want to experience God in a church service where it's just like, my mind is blown. Like, what is the attraction of coming to this church? It's Jesus. And I want Jesus just to do something so wild and crazy in our hearts that we're like, this doesn't even make sense. But because you say so, we're going to obey you. And then when we obey you, we're going to see you do the miraculous in our life. I don't know if that's what you guys want, but that's what I pray for. I want to experience a miracle from God that I cannot explain away. I want him to move in my life in such a way that everyone around me is like, dude, man, what is going on? Your God is amazing. I want to experience God, but if we're going to experience God, we have to be willing to say, because you said so, whatever you tell me to do. Okay, God, you're telling me I need to break up with that person? Okay, I'll break up with them. Okay, God, you're telling me I need to make that phone call and ask for forgiveness? I'll make that phone call. God, you're telling me I have to do something with my finances because I'm really selfish and I spend all my money on myself? Okay, whatever you tell me to do. God, you're telling me I got to stop gossiping about those people that wronged me? Okay. Everyone else is telling me I should talk bad about them. But because you say so, I'm going to obey you. When we start obeying and doing what Jesus told us to, it opens up our lives for the potential of a miracle. Now, what happens next is something that if you haven't read this story before, you just don't see it coming. You would think that after such a miracle, it would bring this just amazing like response. But this is why I come back to Peter so often, because his response is something that I think I would say. Look at what happens. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. I don't know if you caught what happened here, but Peter sees a miraculous, like this amazing miracle, and he looks at Jesus and he says, get away from me. I am a sinful man. I don't belong in your presence. This is not right. And isn't that what we do so often with God? We treat God the same way that we treat human fear. And we know that God sees all, and we're like, okay, God, you saw me when I messed up this week. So let me just keep you at arm's distance. I don't want to get too close to you. I'm afraid of you. And yet a holy fear doesn't push God away. It says, I'm running into your arms. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it because you love me. And Peter tries to push Jesus away, and Jesus says, do not be afraid. If you have the old school King James Version, it says, fear not. It is the most given command in the entire Bible. And I just want some of you to listen to this. Some of you guys have been on the edge of falling in love with Jesus for your whole entire lives. But you've never jumped over, and it's because you're afraid. You're afraid that someone might call you a Jesus freak. You're afraid that God might call you to do something way big and scary. And so some of you have just been on the outskirts. You just said, I'll go to church. I'll do a few little nice things. But you've never totally sold out to Jesus. And it's because you're afraid. And we need to stop fearing God like humans fear one another and pushing him away and start saying, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because the fear of God, it brings intimacy. It brings love. I love what John Piper says. I read it to you, one of his quotes earlier, but I want to read you another one. He says, if you ever feel any inclination to leave God, you know that there is only destruction away from him. The fear of God brings such a sense of awe in us that in those moments when we're doubting God, and we've all had them, in those moments where we're like, come on, God, are you even there? In those moments when everyone else says it would be smart to run away, there's something inside of us that just says, I would not dare run away from my Creator. I may not believe in Him right now. I may have some doubts. I may be struggling. But I would not dare run away from an awesome God. Tonight, what I want to do to close us is I want to do something very different for us. And in fact, it might make some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable. What I want to do is I want to give us a chance just to talk to each other about what brings the awe of God to us. And specifically, what I want to do is I'm going to ask you to get into groups of 3 to 5 people. And I know you may not know very many people here, and right now you may just like be really afraid of talking to people, but this series is called Fear Not. It's not called Fear. So we're going to overcome our fear, and we're going to actually talk to people. And what I want you to do is I just want you to say out loud the things that bring awe to you about our God. And just say them out loud. Just say things like, I'm in awe of God for His protection. I'm in awe of God for His forgiveness. I'm in awe of God for His love. I'm in awe of God that He pursues me and He won't let me go. I just want us to spend some time just talking about how awesome God is. And my hope is that when we just lift up God's name and we talk about God's name a lot, it will bring this holy fear inside of us that just says, even though sometimes I doubt, even though I mess up a lot, I would not dare run away from You. So I'm going to give you guys a few moments just to gather around with the people sitting around you. Just get with 3 to 5 people and just simply talk about how awesome our God is. Go ahead. Would you guys pray with me? God, tonight, I just hope that You have stirred up in us a holy fear of You. God, I ask that we would leave from here just being in awe of You. That God, no matter what happens the rest of the night, we just couldn't help but talk about how amazing You are. And God, this week, as this world brings things to us that just make us so afraid, I ask that you would remind us to fear not. And God, I ask that as we start our day, that we would fear you. That it would be such a holy fear that we wouldn't dare start our day without talking to you and seeking you. God, I ask that you would do something in our lives. You would do a miracle, something that we cannot explain away. I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, and I thank you for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen.